Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We are shifting gears a little bit today for the next couple of weeks. I've been kind of watching what's going on in the world and kind of feeling the prompting from the Lord to maybe kind of make sure that we're all in tune and in line with what the Bible says is going to be happening in the last days. And as we watch these kind of things happen, I want you guys to be very aware. I want your eyes to be open, your spiritual glasses to be on. No one knows the day or the hour, but Jesus said that we are responsible to know the season. And so we're going to take a couple of weeks looking this week at Matthew 24, only verses 1 through 8. The next week we're going to look at the soon and coming invasion of Russia and Iran coming down to attack the nation of Israel. And we'll get in that next week in Ezekiel 38 and 39, even have some maps and some things you can follow to see how this is going to be like a flood coming down from the north to attack this tiny little nation of Israel. And the Bible says God is going to intervene supernaturally. Guys, these things are right on the horizon. We don't know when they're going to be, but all the signs are in place, and I want to make sure that this body knows about it and that this body is prepared. So look with me, if you will, at Matthew 24, verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, as I said, with all the current things that are going on in the world, I decided to take a couple of weeks to veer off and to look at what is the Bible says is going to be happening in the last days. And guys, a couple of things we need to understand. When we talk about end times prophecy, we need to again realize that we need to look at things worldwide. A lot of times I think people have made mistakes by looking at their nation or their situation and saying, the end is near because this is happening in America. No, God doesn't base it on America or any other nation. God said that you'll see the entire world being affected by certain events all at the same time when we get toward the end. And even talked about as the beginning of sorrows. It's interesting, the literal word there, sorrows, is birth pangs. He said, these are the beginnings of birth pangs. Now, if you know anything about birth pangs, they start out small and they get really large. And then finally, you have a baby. And the Lord describes the end times as being that way. He said, there's going to come a season where suddenly the world is going to enter into a time where it's very obvious that contractions have begun. I believe we're in that time. I believe we are now in what we call the beginning of sorrows. Do we know how long that's going to last? I don't know. Are we going to be here for the middle of the sorrows or for the climax of the sorrows? Not at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God will come and take his church out of here during the beginning of sorrow. So that's pretty cool. And so we're not going to be here in the middle. We're not going to be here for the great tribulation, all that's going to happen there when the actual birth of the new kingdom will take place. But guys, we're watching these things happen right now, and I want to make sure that we're ready for it. I want to make sure that we understand what's coming. I want to make sure that we're not dismayed, that we're not afraid, that we're not worried. Jesus wants you to know we're right on target. We are right on track. He is still in control. No matter how crazy things look in the Middle East, no matter how things look in our nation or other nations, the Lord is in control. And so, again, the beginning of sorrows aptly describes where I think we are. And although that's an apt title to where we are today, I really think that more than that, another title that God put in my heart that I thought I should share with you was, "Let not your heart be troubled." Because that really is an overriding theme of what we're going to be looking at today. Guys, Jesus told us what's going to happen for a reason. He didn't tell us there were going to be famines and plagues and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes so we would all go, oh my, you know, we're going to die. This is awful. He said, no, I'm telling you this so that when you're in the generation that sees it all begin to happen worldwide at the same time, you'll rest and you know that I'm in control. And I'm telling you that your heart is not to be troubled. Now, when the Lord said this, had there ever been wars? Absolutely. Had there ever been earthquakes? Of course. Pestilence? Of course, all these things had happened. So the Lord was not saying that you're going to see earthquakes and all this, and it's a sign of my coming. He said, you're going to see them increase in intensity, increase in frequency, and happen on a worldwide scale. He said, that's what I'm talking about when I say birth pangs. That'll be your warning, and that's what you're going to be seeing in the last days. And so again, that's what we are seeing today, and that's why I believe that it was good for us to take a couple of weeks break here and to look at this. And plus, also, I know that people's hearts are troubled. There's no way you can see what's going on in the Middle East and your heart not be troubled. Simply our fellow Christians in Syria and Iraq that are right now being wiped out and destroyed and brutally murdered. Seeing the people of Iraq and Syria that don't even know the Lord, the same thing happening to them. Seeing all that's going on around the globe, the diseases, the things that are happening right now. It's our very nature to be afraid. We by nature are fearful creatures. That's why your buddy likes to hide around the corner. You know, right? Because he knows he can scare you because we're fearful creatures. And that's why the Lord also said over and over in the scripture, don't be afraid. Trust in me. God's desire is that we have peace this morning and every morning. But that only comes by knowing what the Lord told us and by walking in the Spirit of God. And so we're going to be focusing today on what we're to expect and what we're to be watching for. And I do believe because of what Jesus said and the signs he said would be happening in this birth pang type of approach around the world, I do believe we're in the last days. Now, I know a lot of men have said that. Throughout history, people have said, well, we're in the last days because I see all the signs and this is happening or whatever. The problem is there were a lot of things that weren't in place where they really couldn't say that if they understood the scripture. And that is, number one, the Bible says before the end can come, Israel has to be restored in the nation and once again be a nation. Up until 1948, we couldn't say, I think the Lord's about to come, because really until 1948, it couldn't happen. The Lord said, I'm going to put him back in the land before I come back. He also said all these things will begin to happen worldwide on a worldwide scale. So again, I do believe that we see this. As I said, we don't know the exact time, but we should be aware that we're getting close. And so that's what we're going to look at. And again, the fact that we also can understand God's right on time and we're right on target. And I think this gives us peace as well. You see, God not only has a plan for the last days, he's got a plan for you through the last days, all the way into the kingdom of God. And as I've said many times before, listen, the worst thing that can happen to us, guys, is die in these bodies. That is the greatest day that we'll ever face in eternity because we enter into the kingdom of God. And so we need not fear. We rest in our God. Now, again, when I say that the Lord is going to bring us into the kingdom and God is going to protect us and we need not worry, this doesn't mean that we may not suffer persecution or even trials as other generations. I'm not blind to the fact that the church throughout history has suffered, sometimes even unto death. But I will say this, the Lord has promised to be with us, and he's promised to give us his grace, and he's promised to give us peace. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. And so we can rest in the Lord, and we can trust in him that he's going to be faithful to us. And so my approach today is going to be one of a spiritual sandwich, if you will. And that is some soft, sweet bread on one end, soft, sweet bread on the other, but in the middle it's going to get a little bit bitter. And that's where we have to face the reality of what the Lord said is going to happen, and also the reality that we may be in the very beginning of that as we now enter into the beginning of sorrows. But again, the Lord is giving us this soft bread on each side, his manna, his word, to let us know that we need not be afraid, that we need not worry. In Revelation 10, 9 through 10, the Lord told John, he said, take a scroll from the angel's hand and eat it. And he said, it will be sweet to your mouth and bitter in your stomach. And the prophet said, I took the scroll, I ate it, and it was sweet to my mouth and bitter to my stomach. Because that is a perfect definition of prophecy. And that is exactly what God was giving John. He was giving him prophecy about what's going to be happening in the last days. And it was sweet because it's the word of God. You can't read the word of God and not enjoy it. It's God's word. It's sweet to the taste. But when the reality of the consequences of a rebellious world hits our stomach, it's bitter. You see, we have to remember that there's a couple of reasons that we're seeing these things happen in the last days. One is sin entered the world, and sin in a natural progression brings more problems over time. And the Bible says the entire earth, even the creation, is groaning for the Lord to come back and restore it. But another reason these things happen is God is going to actually use the difficult times in the last days to drive unbelievers to himself. Let me ask you a question. If God made everything great for everyone, the earth stayed perfect and beautiful all the time, and yet there was still sin in the world and people that didn't know God and that were not going to heaven. If God did that and everyone just smoothly traveled on to their death and died, what would be the result of that? Many people would miss the kingdom of God because they were never challenged. Their eyes were never opened. But when trials come in, when hard times, when troubles come in, it drives us to question, why am I here? What is life about? What happens after death? And so the Lord allows these things to drive us to him. And because of these very tribulations, there's going to be many more people in the kingdom of God. So when God allows these things, it's actually the love of God doing it. And so we have to have the right mindset of what the Lord is going to be doing. So we'll be eating this spiritual prophecy sandwich today. As we hear the word of God, it's going to be sweet to us. But again, as we look at some of the things that are going to be happening, it is a little bit bitter as to what's going to be happening in the very last days. So where do we begin? Well, before we take our first bite in today's sandwich, we need to look at the first slice of bread. And we find that in John 14:1, where Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." He repeats the same thing in verse 6 of 24, where he says, "See that you're not troubled." But notice what he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, rest. I love you. You're my bride. I'm in control. I will never give you more than you can handle. Trust me on this one. That would be the challenge of the Lord. The second slice of bread, which is underneath the sandwich, is found in John 16:33, where it says this. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Now note this, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. Here's what the Lord is saying. All these things have to come to pass. I'm telling you in advance they're going to come to pass. I don't want you to be worried. I want you to trust me. And you're going to have to take a step of faith to realize that I'm in control and I love you. All right, Lord, I can do that. I trust you. You love me. You're in control. Yeah, but I'm not done, Mark. Really? Yes. There's something else I want you to do. What's that, Lord? Be of good cheer. Wow. Lord, be of good cheer. I think I can trust you, but be of good cheer. Look at all the people that are dying. Look at the murders of Christians happening around the world. Look at all the tribulations that are coming our way. Look at what's happening in the world. How can I be of good cheer? Here's how, because I've overcome the world. I didn't say there wouldn't be trouble in this world. I said there will be trouble in this world, but I've overcome it. And if you trust me, you're going to overcome it too. And then one day you're going to be with me in the kingdom, and I'm coming back and I'm establishing my throne, and we'll rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years and then forever after that without anyone hindering through sin or problems. You see, the future is glorious. And so we can rest and we can trust him. And again, I think about the world. They don't have this promise. They don't know what's happening. It's amazing to watch the news and to see how confused everyone is. And you want to think, you know what? Just read the Bible. The Lord tells us this was going to happen. And so, not that the events that are happening are not serious or sad, but we have his protection, we have his power, we have his love, and the understanding that we win in the end. And this is where the settling of the heart comes, and this is where we can be of good cheer. And guys, that's my desire for you today. No doubt some of you are concerned today. Some of you in this room are worried about a number of things, wars, diseases, whatever. You're worried right now. Because there are different gambits of people. Some of you guys, a bomb could blow up in your backyard and it wouldn't bother you at all. I've seen people that nothing bothers them. And some people, you just mention something that might be wrong and they think that everybody's going to die. You know, there's something on the border. All my children are dead. Listen, my mom was one of these worriers. I remember telling her, "Mom, you're a worrier." She goes, "I'm not really. Am I really?" I said, "Yes, you're a worrier." I said, "You're a worrier." And I begin to cough. She said, "Oh, that could be walking pneumonia. You need to go to the doctor." I said, "Mom, stop it. That's exactly what I told you. You worry about everything." When I was a kid and played football, I got these sweat bumps on my ankles because of the socks up high. My mom took me to the doctor for leprosy. I'm not joking. And I'm glad she was concerned about me, but come on, right? So what we have in this room is we have a full gambit. We've got some people that aren't worried at all. You have total rest. It doesn't matter what happens, you're not worried. Some of you guys are probably freaking out. You're seeing this ISIS thing going on in the Middle East. You're seeing the Ebola thing going on. You're seeing all the border crisis and all the new diseases and all the people and the things. You're seeing all these things happening. You're thinking, what's going on and what's going to happen and what's the outcome? Listen, we are right on target. The Lord didn't give us details about every nation and the way things would happen in every nation. But he said, when you see these things begin to happen and you see them worldwide, don't let your heart be troubled, but be of good cheer. Realize that I've overcome the world and I have a plan through the midst of it. Well, let's jump into it. Look at verse 3 in chapter 24. Verse 1 and 2, he's talking about the temple and the fact that it's going to be destroyed in 70 AD, which we know happened. But now he begins to get into futuristic events. And it says in verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Well, let's camp here for just a moment. Notice, again, this the first thing he says is that many will come in my name saying, "I'm the Christ." Now, for us today, that's not that unusual, quite honestly. How many people have we heard just in our generation have claimed to be the Christ? I mean, you got David Koresh, you got Jim Jones, you got all these different guys. You got people now involved in New Age Spiritism who say that everyone's a Christ. I mean, the trees and rocks, they're all God. Everybody's God. Everything's God. So in our generation, we look at this and go, yeah, well, what? So that doesn't show an increase in a birth pang. That doesn't show a last day sign. Oh, really? Did you know this was very uncommon until recent history? As a matter of fact, if someone had claimed to be the Messiah in Jesus' day, one or two people did it. One guy did it before Jesus, and they killed him. This was a very, very extremely rare thing. And yet today, multitudes in our generation are now claiming they're either a Christ or they are Christ. And again, we've gotten so used to it, we're not even shocked by it. Guys, this is a dramatic change in world events. And when it comes to end times prophecy, we have to look for dramatic changes, sudden and dramatic, and worldwide. This is happening all over the world. People claiming they're Jesus Christ. I looked up in Wikipedia yesterday and found a long list of people in recent history who are claiming to be Christ. And what really struck out to me about this logging of all the people who claim to be Christ is the list didn't begin until the 1800s. Prior to the 1800s, it was so sparse and so few, there aren't even any names recorded. But all of a sudden, in 1800, a sudden spike of a list of all these people claiming they're Jesus, claiming they're Messiah, claiming they're a Christ, if you will. Jesus said, watch for that. Church, watch for that. It's going to happen suddenly. There'll be an exponential increase in it. That's going to be one of the signs that I'm getting close. I want my church to be ready. The world won't see that. They won't recognize it. I'm revealing to you, hidden manna, the Lord would say. Because I love you. You're my people, and I want you to know what's happening. Again, a marked increase in the birth pangs, a sharp increase. I read just yesterday from the Christian Post, this was dated June 2013, a South African man is claiming to be Jesus Christ just a week after reports came out about another man in Australia who was claiming he was Christ. I mean, maybe they were fighting over which one's Jesus. I'm Jesus. No, you're not. I'm Jesus. No, I'm Jesus. No, I don't know what's going on, right? But it comes out a week after, and this guy, they both are claiming they're Jesus. Moses Longwane was the guy's name from KwaZulu-Natal, claimed he is not only the Messiah, but about to open all the graves of the dead, to heal the blind, and to heal the lame. Guys, this has been jumping off the charts since the 1800s. Jesus said, you will see this as one of the contractions in the last days to show you that I'm near. We're seeing it. Next, look at verse 6, he says, and many will hear of wars and rumors of wars. I love this next line. See that you are not troubled. I have it underlined. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Next, notice there will be wars and rumors of wars. Notice any of this? Again, guys, as we said, wars aren't new, but what we're looking for is a sudden contraction of wars and a sudden contraction of rumors of wars. That is exactly what is happening on our planet as we speak this morning. In Syria, there's a war going on. In Israel and Gaza, there's a war going on. In Africa, there are wars going on. In Iraq, there's ISIS and the war going on now. Now, America involved in the war in Iraq as we've done these recent strikes. And what's amazing to me is what I'm watching for is not just wars, but it needs to be tied to what? Rumors of wars. North Korea is threatening to destroy South Korea and the rest of the world with nuclear weapons. Iran is threatening and rumoring to destroy Israel when they get the first chance. Russia this week amassed 20,000 new troops on the Ukraine border, and they did the same thing with Crimea when they took over Crimea. And everyone is saying Russia is about to move. Rumors of war. Wars and rumors of war at the same time worldwide. We're in a contraction. Let me just say this right now. Does it mean that this is the contraction? Is this the contraction where God will come and take his church off the earth before we get into the great tribulation and the major contractions? I don't know. It could be. It may not be. I'm not saying this is the contraction. I'm saying we need to recognize contractions. Now, you ladies that have had babies, nobody had to tell you to recognize a contraction. When I saw that little chart and Tracy was hooked up to it and that little thing is going up, I didn't have to look at it. You know, they hook them up to this machine, for those of you guys that have not been through this yet. They hook them up to this machine, they put this thing on them, and then when they begin to have a contraction, of course, the belly's really tightening up, right? Getting ready for the baby. And you see this thing go off the chart, right? Of this contraction tightening up. And it's at that moment that the pain also begins to go off the chart. You can follow that little track and see where the pain's going. And whenever I'm watching that little monitor, and I would see this thing begin to go up, and I've been through this four times, I wouldn't say to Tracy, so, is it hurting, honey? You know? Honey, are you having a contraction? You know, and then... boom! Then when I get up off the floor, I thought you might be. No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't. She wasn't that type. I've heard of women that do that. I'm glad Tracy wasn't that type. But either way, I didn't have to ask her. She recognized the contraction. Now, if I was in that room and I did not know what that screen represented or the way it went up, I may not have recognized that contraction. I could have been standing there not feeling the pain of it and said, well, there's no contraction going on right now. What are you talking about? She's literally going, oh, yeah, there's a contraction. Excuse me. Let me hook you up to the monitor. Listen, guys, today we're hooking up to the biblical monitor because I want you to learn to recognize the contractions. I want you to see how these things are linked. He's very specific in what he says, and we're seeing very specific results of this around the world right now. And so, again, the contraction of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. Look at verse 7. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Notice, first of all, he says, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, kingdom against kingdom is easy to understand. We see that going on right now with the battles. Kingdoms against kingdoms fighting. But this is interesting. If you don't understand the original language here for nation against nation, you'll miss it. The word nation is the word ethnic group or ethnos. It's where we get the term ethnic group. So what the Lord is saying is when you see these worldwide contractions happen, you're not only going to see kingdom against kingdom, you're going to see ethnic group against ethnic group. That is black against white, Chinese against Mexican. You go down the list, whatever other, Shia Muslims against Sunni Muslims, which is what's going on in Iraq right now. ISIS are Sunni Muslims. They're the ones following Saddam Hussein. He was in the same form of Muslim. They had two breakouts of the Muslim religion, the Sunni and the Shia. The Sunnis are the ones right now, ISIS, doing this. The others, the Shia, are the ones that are not doing this, but they're fighting each other. These are two different ethnic groups fighting. The Lord said in the last days, you're going to see an increase of ethnic tensions. And guys, over in the Middle East, we see it going on right now. I think, personally, you're going to see a great increase in ethnic tensions as we continue to have problems on the border. Not because people don't love the Mexican people or don't want them to be here, but simply for the fact that they're seeing this invasion of our nation. Some of America, some of the people of our nation are going to respond in great tension to that. Be watching. You're going to see an increase in these tensions. It's going to happen. And this is another part of this, these contractions, when they begin to happen, you're watching for all of these things kind of linked together. Again, so that we would know and be prepared. Next, he says, also, look what we'll see next. An increase in famines. Again, famines have been around for all time. But note this, it wasn't until the 1700s that the world's worst famines in history began to take place. Now, if you didn't know that historically, again, it wouldn't get your attention. We're watching for sudden, dramatic changes in worldwide history. That's why we have to back up from our generation. We have to pull on further back from the map and look at everything from beginning to end. In the 1600s, note this, prior to 1600, there were 100,000 recorded deaths worldwide from famine. 100,000, all the way up to 1600. Now, it doesn't say there weren't more than that. That's the recorded statistics. In the 1600s, note this, when the 1600s began, it jumped from 100,000 all the way back through history to 6 million in that 100 years. The next 100 years, 1700s, it jumped to 24 million who died of famines. In 1800, it jumped to 50 million who died in famines. Do you guys see a contraction here? Honey, it's time. The monitor is moving. We need to be aware of it. Interesting. Before this tropical storm hit Hawaii last week, an earthquake hit. An earthquake hits Hawaii. Tropical storm hits Hawaii. We hear of earthquakes hitting all over the place now. As a matter of fact, earthquakes are so normal now and so regular now that sometimes we don't even notice it because it's something that's simply there. I mean, amazing. Did you guys realize that when it comes to earthquakes, that prior to the 1900s, 1800 on back, there was one major earthquake every 10 years in recorded history? Now, what's a major earthquake? There were smaller earthquakes. What's a major earthquake? Anything 8.0 or up on the Richter scale. That's considered a major earthquake by seismologists. Prior to 1800s or all the way through the 1800s, one every 10 years. In the 1900s, it began to go off the charts. Guys, look, I looked it up just to find out how bad it is. From the year 2000 to the year 2010, we had 9 major earthquakes. Earthquakes around the globe. That is the same number of earthquakes we had for 100 years prior to that. 100 years, there'd be 10 earthquakes that were major. In 9 years, 10 years rather, we had 9 major earthquakes just from 2000 to 2010. It has jumped 10 times. Again, what are we watching for? Dramatic, sudden, radical increases in these contractions to know that we're getting close to the end. Next, what do we see? It says here there's going to be an increase in pestilence. Interesting, the word pestilence here was what we would call disease. According to the Third World Network, let me just say this. I look back at historical diseases and pestilence. They pretty much stay consistent throughout history. You had pretty much the same ones. Yeah, you had some different plagues that jumped in there, but the main viruses, the main illnesses throughout history kind of held true until you get to the last 20 years or so. And according to the Third World Network, in the past 20 years, we have had 30 new, unknown to us before this, 30 new worldwide diseases on the scene. Certainly you guys have heard of the list. We can just name a few. AIDS, it's been around longer than that, but it's becoming more on the scene. SARS, hantavirus, swine flu, flesh-eating bacteria. Guys, when I was a kid growing up in Florida, I didn't have to worry about swimming. Did you know last year 41 people died in the Gulf of Mexico from a flesh-eating bacteria? Did you know this year 11 have died from a flesh-eating bacteria in the Gulf of Mexico? Contractions are happening. The diseases are increasing. The explosion of sexually transmitted diseases. There are new diseases we never had to even worry about in past generations. And of course, the current Ebola, which is the one that's all over the news right now that everybody's so concerned about. I'm not saying some of these in that list haven't even been around for a while. The point is, the Lord said you're going to see them increase and get more intense. Now it's time to say this again. Let not your heart be troubled. It's kind of hard to teach a lesson like this and people are like, we're all going to die. No, we're not. You'll never die, first of all. You realize if you're a believer here today, you will never die. You're going to live forever. Now, I don't know what kind of trials we'll go through. No doubt we're in the beginning of sorrows. We're going to experience some of this. But I know that because the Bible says the beginning of sorrows is all we're ever going to see. At some point, we're getting close. And the Lord is going to be taking us out of here. And that's where we rejoice. And we want to bring as many with us as we can. Not to mention how many diseases are now making a comeback. Guys, there are new diseases coming back on the scene that we haven't seen for years. TB is one of them. With all these people crossing the border, they're saying that TB is now starting to explode across the border and now moving across the nation. And there's a brand new form of TB that has no cure. Again, let not your heart be troubled. I'm simply sharing the facts with you so that you can know what's happening and that the Lord expected it. But at the same time, I don't want to create any kind of fear. And the Lord finishes the list. And then notice what he says here in verse 8. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Or we would say the beginning of birth pains. Now, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Guys, listen, my point in sharing this with you today is to let you know I believe we're in the beginning of sorrows. And the struggle I face as a pastor is how to present to you the bitter part of the sandwich, the reality of what the Lord said is going to be happening. But the good part is I get to show you the bread on both sides of it. And that is for your heart not to be troubled. That you're to be of good cheer. The Lord is the one that controls this. God is the one that's in control of all things. And I know he loves us. I know he loves his bride. I know he'll never give us more than we can handle. And by the way, when I look around the world today and realize we're entering into this time of the sorrows of the last days, there's no other nation that we're more blessed to be in than America. Especially when you consider what the rest of the world is like. Listen, we're going to be the last ones that are enveloped in this thing that's moving around the globe as these contractions increase. But the bottom line is it just shows us that much more how we are closer to the Lord's return. Because again, before the contractions get really bad, the Bible says the Lord will take us out of here in the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But then we're going to see the contractions take place and then the new era born, if you will. So again, a couple of things here that we need to recognize. Number one, although we may suffer some before the Lord's return, earth's major suffering will happen after we're gone. I can rejoice in that. Not in those that are left behind or have to go through it, but I'm thankful for the Lord to be faithful to us. But secondly, if we're now in the beginning of sorrows and the rapture happens sometime near that, it's almost time to go home, guys. Again, no one knows the day or the hour. I'm not going to write a book. I'm not going to pick a date. But I recognize the season. I mowed my grass yesterday and got the feeling of fall. It's not fall yet, is it? I can feel it. It's right around the corner. This is what the Spirit will do with us as believers. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. But he said, I'm going to share with you these specifics that are going to be happening. They're going to be happening worldwide. They're going to all be happening at one time. And you'll see these flare up. and then you'll see him die down. And then you'll see him flare up larger, and then you'll see him die down. And then you'll see him flare up larger, and at one of those moments, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be with the Lord in the air. Is that awesome or what? Guys, the next big thing on the horizon is Russia and Iran moving on Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Next week, I'm going to have a map up here for you. We're going to go through Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we're going to follow through the countries and watch how it's going to flow like a river, like a dam broken loose, coming down around the Black Sea on both sides, down to the edge of Jerusalem, or rather Israel. And the Bible says when these massive armies of Russia, Iran, and all these others, probably ISIS joining them, and others, when they get on the border of Israel, the Bible says that the Lord is going to, at that moment, well, we'll cover that next week. But I want you to be here. But the bottom line is this. Are you ready right now? If the Lord came back today, and the signs are all around us, guys, are you ready? Somebody asked me the other day, well, what do I have to do to be ready? What do you mean am I ready? Here's what you have to do to be ready. If you're a believer, make sure you're walking with the Lord. As this isn't the time to be playing with sin. I know we all struggle. I know we all have weaknesses. I have my struggles and my weaknesses. But more than ever, this is the time to be saying, God, you've got to help me. You've got to let me walk pure and holy before you because I want to be ready. Listen, when the Lord comes back, I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be excited. How about you guys? But for those in here who don't know the Lord, here's how you can be ready. You simply have to confess your sin to God. We're going to pray in a second. What you got to do is say, God, I am a sinner. I am guilty before you. He just wants you to confess it because it causes you to humble yourself and acknowledge that only he can help you. You confess it to him. The next thing you have to do is say, I believe you died for me on the cross and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Ask him to forgive you and then ask him to come into your heart and be your Lord. The Bible says if you do that, you're ready. Guys, let's make sure we're ready. Let's pray. Lord, Father, I pray for us, first of all, as believers in this room, Lord, that we'd be ready. Lord, your word says we don't know the day or the hour. I don't know if you're coming back today. You might. I don't know if you're coming back next week, next month. I don't know when you're coming back. But you told me and you told us that we'd see all these signs happening on a worldwide scale with increasing intensity as we got to the last days, which means we are seeing it and we need to be ready. And Lord, you also told us not to be troubled. And you said, let not your heart be troubled, God. You told us to be of good cheer, to trust in you. So Lord, we're choosing to trust you and to know that you're in control of all diseases, all battles, all deaths, all wars, all earthquakes. You're the Lord and you love us. And we're going to trust you. And we're going to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord, until you come back for your bride and that trumpet sounds and we rise in the air to meet you. Father, make us ready as believers. But God, I pray right now, if there's any in this room who don't know you, and they're right now, they know God, they need to get right with you, and they want to make sure they're ready, that right now they would begin to confess their sin to you. And if that's you, I want you right now to begin to confess your sin to the Lord. Lord, they would confess their sin to you, and they would believe that you died for them on the cross, spilled your blood for their sin, and they would ask you to be their Savior, their Lord and Savior. And they would receive you today as Lord and Savior. Turn from their sin and receive you as their Lord. If you do that today, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be in the kingdom. And you will be here maybe, yes, for the beginning of sorrows, which I believe has begun. But you'll not be here for the great tribulation. And you'll also have your place reserved in the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done this morning. For the teaching of your word, for the fact that you've not left us orphans, for the fact that you've not left us guessing, but you've shown us. God, give us spiritual glasses so that we can see and be encouraged, but also, Lord, that we can encourage others around us and bring them into the kingdom as well. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your spirit and for your faithfulness. Lord, settle our hearts and let us not be troubled. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.